He had put off this regenerating evil until the latest day, as was his custom, and now he was setting forth to do the whole thing at a blow, entirely planless among the guns and rocking horses that would presently surround him. As he reached the highway, he heard himself familiarly addressed from a distance, and turning, saw four sons of the Alkali jogging into town from the plain. One who had shouted to him galloped out from the others, rounded the capital's enclosure, and approaching with radiant countenance, leaned to reach the hand of the governor, and, once again, greeted him with a hilarious, "Hello, Doc!" Governor Barker, M.D., seeing Mr. McLean unexpectedly after several years, hailed the horseman with frank and lively pleasure, and inquiring who might be the other riders behind, was told that they were Shorty, Chalkeye, and Dollar Bill, come for Christmas.
"And dandies to hit the town with,"
Mr. McLean added.
"Red hot."
"I am acquainted with them," assented His Excellency.
"We've been riding trail for 12 weeks,
the cowpuncher continued,
"making our beds down anywheres, and eating the same old chuck every day. So we've shook fried beef and heifer's delight, and we're going to feed high."
Then Mr. McLean overflowed with talk and pungent confidences, for the holidays already rioted in his spirit,
and his tongue was loosed over their coming rites.
"We've soured on scenery,"
he finished, in his drastic idiom.
"We're sick of moonlight and cow dung, and we're healed for a big time."
"Call on me," remarked the governor cheerily, "when you're ready for bromides and sulfates."
"I ain't box-headed no more," protested Mr. McLean. "I've got maturity, Doc, since I've seen you at the rain-making, and I'm a heap older than them hospital days when I bust my leg on you. 3 or 4 glasses and quit. That's my rule."
"That your rule, too?" inquired the governor of Shorty, Chalkeye, and Dollar Bill. These gentlemen of the saddle were sitting quite expressionless upon their horses.
"We ain't talking, we're waiting,"
observed Chalkeye, and the three cynics smiled amiably.
"Well, Doc, see you again,"
said Mr. McLean. He turned to accompany his brother cowpunchers, but in that particular moment fate descended, or came up from whatever place she dwells in, and entered the body of the unsuspecting governor. "What's your hurry?" said Fate, speaking in the official's hearty manner. "Come along with me."
"Can't do it. Where are you going?"
"Christmasing," replied Fate.
"Well, I've got to feed my horse. Christmasing, you say?"
"Yes, I'm buying toys."
"Toys? You? What for?"
"Oh, some kids." "Yarn?" screeched Lynn precipitately. His Excellency, the jovial governor, opened his teeth in pleasure at this, for he was a bachelor, and there were 15 upon his list, which he held up for the edification of the hasty McLean. "Not mine, I'm happy to say. My friends keep marrying and settling, and their kids call me uncle and climb around and bother, and I forget their names, and think it's a girl, and the mother gets mad. Why, if I didn't remember these little folks at Christmas, they'd be wondering. Not the kids, they'd just break your toys and didn't notice, but the mother would wonder. What's the matter with Dr. Barker? Has Governor Barker gone back on us? That's where the strain comes." He broke off, facing Mr. McLean with another spacious laugh. But the cowpuncher had ceased to smile, and now, while Barker ran on exuberantly, McLean's wide-open eyes rested upon him, singular and intent, and in their hazel depths, the last gleam of jocularity went out. "That's where the strain comes, you see. 2 sets of acquaintances, grateful patients and loyal voters. And I've got to keep solid with both outfits, especially the wives and mothers. They're the people. So it's drums and dolls and sheep on wheels and games and monkeys on a stick. And the sales lady shows you a mechanical bear and it costs too much and you forget whether the judge's second girl is Nellie or Susie and... Well, I'm just in for my annual circus this afternoon. You're in luck. Christmas don't trouble a chap fixed like you." Lynn McLean prolonged the sentence like a distant echo.
"A chap fixed like you."
The cowpuncher said it slowly to himself.
"No, sure."
He seemed to be watching Shorty and Chalkeye and Dollar Bill going down the road.
"That's a new idea, Christmas,"
he murmured, for it was one of his oldest, and he was recalling the Christmas when he wore his first long trousers. "Comes once a year."